Let's start with 93, number 93. A life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf being tied. Fleeting days are telling fast, but the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Number 93.
Life at best is very brief,
like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf.
Answer B. 100.
It's good to be back here again, and privileged to speak in the gospel. We'll just quickly ask for the Lord's help. We're going to begin with prayer and look to the Lord for blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we would simply come before Thee, crying out to Thee for help. We would confess that this time around Your Word is a sacred time. It speaks of deep things, considering the person of Christ, His work on the cross, and what He has done for sinners. We ask for help, that Thy Word might be blessed, and that a soul, O God, might make a decision concerning Christ, to put their trust and faith in Him, finding peace and sins forgiven. We look to Thee, O God, thanking You so much for who He is and what He has done for us in His name. Amen. We're just going to read tonight in one place, in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. So we're going to the end of the chapter. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And this is the verse that we're going to be thinking on, at least for the next 20 minutes. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to read that verse one more time. What shall it profit a man? What does it profit a man if you gain everything but lose your own soul? We're going to talk about that question tonight, the question that the Lord Jesus asked. What can you gain? What is there for you and I to gain if we get everything we could possibly want and lose our soul? Now, one thing that speaks to me is what the Lord says, or what Mark records in verse 34. Because what He does in verse 34, it says that He called the people and the disciples also. So there's two groups going on that are being gathered to the Lord Jesus. There's the people and there's His disciples. So what that means to me is that this isn't a message just for people who are not saved. Okay, there's going to be something in it for all of us, whether you're saved or unsaved. Because it wasn't just the multitude, it wasn't just everyone called, but specifically also His disciples. This was for them too. How do I treat Christ? What is my goals in life? What are my aspirations? What is my focus? What matters to me? If you come visit us in Pugwash, and you're more than welcome to, but please don't do it at the same time. But if you want to come visit us in Pugwash, and you were to travel past our house, and you go another 5 minutes, so you leave Pugwash. Our house is about 5 minutes past Pugwash, going along that north shore towards New Glasgow and up Cape Breton. If you go past, and you go to the next village, Wallace, and just as you're entering the village of Wallace, there's a bridge to the left. North Wallace, and you cross over that bridge, you make your first right, and you're going to, as you go down that road, you're going to get into Resort area. Now, you may not recognize this name so much, perhaps you will, the name Ron Joyce. Ron Joyce, as he's died not that long ago, but there are, if you go into that resort, I call it a resort, I don't know if that's really the right word, but this is where all of the who's who and the ups and all of the wealthy have places. So hockey players are here, and I don't know, TV stars, they have their own airstrip, and every they're not even cottages, right? These are mansions, right? Every home is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Ron Joyce has put all of this together. There's golf courses. He's building another golf course, or the, his son is building another golf course and so on. But you might not recognize Ron Joyce so much as you probably will recognize his business, former business partner, Tim Horton. That sounds familiar because who doesn't like a medium double-double? All right? Tim Horton was a hockey player. He was a good hockey player. He was so good, he was named in the top 100 hockey players of all time. He was amazing. He's from Toronto. And started playing with the Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think he jumped a couple of teams. His last team he played for Buffalo. Now, we usually think of Tim Horton as the coffee shop franchise. That was something he started as a player with Ron Joyce. And they started with a few coffee shops, and then it became what we know today as the Tim Hortons that you see everywhere. Tim Horton didn't just make it to the NHL just by pure luck, right? He was very, very good at what he did. He was a defenseman. And just to make it even into university-level hockey, you have to be good. To statistically, even to play one NHL game in your life is a really low statistic for any wannabe NHL star. But to play a full career and make yourself in the top 100 players, you have to be the best of the best hockey players that there are. He had to have spent hours and hours and days and weeks and months practicing, skating, shooting, playing, moving, checking, whatever, to get where he was at. You know, Tim Horton was playing, he had just finished a game in Toronto. He was playing for Buffalo, Boston, just across the state line from Toronto. The game was in Toronto, and Tim Horton was driving home, going down around St. Catharines, heading over to the U.S.-Canadian border, just past St. Catharines. And I don't know how fast he was going, but there was alcohol involved, there was drugs involved. And he was going so fast that when the police officer turned on his sirens to go after him, he lost him in a matter of seconds. He was gone. And the police officer is following after where Tim Horton had gone on ahead, comes up to a car accident. There on the side of the road is a sports car, 123 feet from the sports car, so easily the length of the building, was laying Tim Horton. Likely dead, I don't know the details. But I want you to just imagine with me for just a moment. If you and I had 5 minutes of time with Tim Horton, imagine if you were that police officer. You get out of your car, you run 123 feet up to Tim Horton laying on the ground. Imagine what it would be like if you kneel down beside Mr. Horton, and you say, "Mr. Horton, you are about to die. I would love to discuss with you your hockey career. Would you like to just tell me how you got so good at what you did? How did you make it? What techniques did you use? How do you score so many goals as a defenseman? How much practice did you, what was it that set you apart? Would you like to talk about your career? Because Tim, you made it to the top. You think I was silly. That would be the last thing that he would want to talk about. Because in 5 minutes, he's going to meet God. Who cares about putting a little piece of rubber, about this big, past a goalie into a net? Who cares how well he could hit it? Who cares how well he could skate? When in 5 minutes' time, you are going to stand before God. All of those minutes and hours and weeks and months spent practicing. Think of it. All of the time that he had to invest in one sport to be the best of the best. And in a moment, in just a matter of seconds, none of it matters the least. He's going to meet God. I said already, this is something that isn't just for unsaved people. It's for Christians as well. It's for me. Matthew, what do you spend your life on? What is your focus on? What do you invest your time in? Because at the end, it's not going to matter, is it? If it's things that don't last. But if I was not saved, if you're not saved, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you spend, and what the Lord Jesus is talking about here is, let's just imagine that what you want, you get. You get it all. Every bit of it. Whatever your dream is, whatever your goal is, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whether it's to be a star, whether it's to be the best at whatever job you want or whatever career you want, whether you make it to the very top and you get everything. Let's just imagine you do. You get it all. And in 30 seconds, your life turns just like Mr. Horton's did. You're the one found lying on the side of the road. And in 5 minutes' time, you're about to meet God. What's the matter? And the Lord says, what's the gain? What's the profit? Listen, think about it, weigh it up. What is the gain? If you get everything you want and you die without Christ, and meet God. Now that's something serious. Now I'm not making any assumptions upon where he stood with God. I have no idea. All right, I don't know. At this point, it really doesn't matter what I would think. And I don't even know if he had 5 minutes. But I want you to think just for the next 35 minutes, that this, if you even get 35 minutes, to stand before a holy God and you have one sin not forgiven, God says no. No sin in my heaven. We could have thought of others. Kobe Bryant put a rubber ball about this size over 11,000 times. He threw that into a basketball net. I watched an interview of Kobe, and if there's anything I envy about Kobe, it's not really his basketball career. I'm not much of a sports, as you can tell, sports guy. What thing I envy about Kobe was his absolute focus and determination to be the best at what he did. And his how he set out his life was this. If my teammates are showing up for practice at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm showing up at 6. If they're leaving at 4, I'm leaving at 6. Everything I see them do, I'm going to do it more. And he did it. And it proved it without a doubt when you watched him play. Or maybe you go in the store and you walk past Foot Locker or something like that, and you see a line of DC shoes. Now, DC shoes was one of the partners of those shoes was Ken Block. Ken Block was a professional driver. All right? He could do things with the car. All right? I tried them once. All right? I had to walk to my grandmother's house because her car was facing the wrong way on the opposite side of the road in the ditch because I tried to do what Ken Block does. It was a long walk. Ken Block was snowmobiling, and he goes over a bump or a jump the wrong way, goes over his snowmobile into eternity. I mean, he made it. He was amazing at what he did. And Mr. Bryant was the best at what he did. But 5 minutes left. Let's just assume they had 5 minutes to think about and to talk about things that mattered to them. Let's just give them that. Do you think for 5 minutes all Colby would love to talk about was how skilled he was at taking a orange rubber ball that bounced and how good he could throw it no matter where he was at? He was able to throw it and have it go into the net. Do you think you would love to spend 5 minutes talking about that? Knowing in 5 minutes' time, I'm going to meet God. You know, the likelihood that you get everything that you want and desired is almost zero. So even the chances of it happening are unlikely. Life's hard. Life's difficult. There's sorrow. There's pain. There's hurt. And the Lord just says, He says, let's just assume you get it. Now I'm going to ask you, what is it that you want? What matters? What do you spend your time thinking about? What do you spend your time dreaming about? What is it that makes you smile? Makes you happy? And if you got it, you get it all. The Lord says, even if you got it all, what would it matter if it costs you your soul? You know, tonight, regardless of where these three individuals that we mentioned, regardless of where they stand, I have no idea. You know, when I was 16 years old, just outside of a hall, a lot older than this one at the time, and it's now gone. We have a new one. But I could probably walk you around the yard, and I could probably more or less find you a place where back in 2006 there was a black plastic chair sitting and a little boy sitting in that chair. And he struggled with this one question: how can I be saved? And he wrestled. And he prayed, and he wrestled, and he prayed, and he struggled, and prayed some more. Then he gave up. And in the moment of giving up, he realized, I can't do a single thing for this. It's all him. And just like that. 5 minutes time from now, if I meet God, you know, I know exactly where I'm going to be. And I haven't gained the whole world, that's for sure. I don't have all of the money. I don't have all of the mansions. But ready. Ready to meet God. Doesn't mean I won't necessarily be scared. I probably will be. I was scared the first time I left for school. When I left my parents' home for the first time and I got into a car and I drove over here to PEI to go to the police academy in Sleman Park, I was scared. Not because of, it wasn't nothing, anything wrong with the school, but I'd never done it before. And dying might be scary, who knows? It always is if it's the first time you've done it. Never done it before. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're ready. Oh, what an amazing thing to be ready. You know, what's so precious is, just as easily as you walked in here unsaved, you could walk out just as easily saved. All right? Not a bit more difficult than than what it took for you to come in and sit down in that chair. You could walk out ready to meet God. So, I guess it comes down to just really what the Lord said, what the Lord asked. You get everything you want? Is that what you want? Maybe you'll get it. But what will it matter if in 5 minutes' time you stand before God?